You know, we talked a little bit about some of the harsh words that Jesus said, or I got a little book about the hard sayings of Jesus, and he had some hard sayings, but he was getting the point across. Are you a goat? Or are you a sheep? Well, in our language today of social media, a lot of famous people. And I can't remember his name. There's a sportscaster with Fox Sports that just wrote a book. And that's what he entitled his book, GOATS. Just GOATS. But it's really an acronym. And just like today's language with artists and sports, all kinds of things refer to themselves as GOATS. Now, not the kind of goat that goes, nah, but GOATS. It's an acronym. It's a term that means greatest of all times. One term that referred to a public acclaim of many popular sports figures. Muhammad Ali is the one that coined this originally. This sportscaster wrote the book, and as he was interviewing Muhammad Ali, it came about. But there's other folks besides Muhammad Ali that are referred to as GOATs. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant. These are all icons of their craft, and they are universally praised by others as being really self-proclaimed greatness. The problem with these icons, however, is the fine line between honor and self-elevated idol. But what makes these figures so great? Often it's the ability and the challenge for winning, for showmanship. Their sports give them an opportunity to be good at what they do, and they are passionate winners. I noticed that Tom Brady, being with the Bucks, now he's doing pretty good now, but you could just see some of the games that he lost. It was like, it's all my fault. But the language and the image of coolness, these are the GOATs who appear very successful. They are passionate winners. But they often, too, can be seen as viciously competitive, headstrong, defiant, and independent. Michael Jordan, for example, while a sports hero of himself, has also been called a jerk by his teammates. He's been identified by many frequently and arrogant and demanding and destructive, even self-destructive things, and just sometimes just plain mean. Tom Brady, on the other hand, a relentless competitor and sportsman, had been described by others as being obsessive, intolerant, overly concerned with his image. I think that's some of the reasons he's not been able to find himself to retire. Kobe Bryant, known for his arrogance on and off the court, had been dubbed too selfish to be a team player. And while Muhammad Ali dazzled the people with his antics and all the things that he did in the boxing world, he was also seen as very egotistical. In his own words, Ali told people, "You know, it's just hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." So while we venerate these idols and smile at their bold and brash behavior at times, most of us wouldn't necessarily want to set up house with them or invite them for lunch or associate with them, because these goats have a pretty goatish personality and not one often tempered with harmonious relationships and community. So what's goats in the analogy of the greatest of all times? But then there's other goats that we look about, the scripture talks about. And the goats, in an animal sense, have borne this kind of label from the beginning of scriptures. And while sheep are characterized as obedient, gentle, docile, loyal, emotional, sweet-tempered animals, we are all like sheep and going astray. But look at us, we're sweet and tempered. Goats are characterized as being arrogant, independent, strong-willed, destructive, and self-serving creatures. And while the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and submit to the direction and the caring, goats, on the other hand, will often defy the shepherd's guidance and go rogue and frequently jump the fence. While Israeli goats and sheep look surprisingly very similar, and they dwell in the same flock, and sometimes it's hard to... I never knew this, but sheep or female goats also get horns sometimes. That's why it's hard to tell them apart, especially in Israel where they have them all in the same flock. But the personalities and behavior define them as radically different animals. These different displays, most of the time, are roles within the community. They just sort of... But sheep, by nature, are communal. They're relational animals. They build friendship with each other. They defend each other and care for each other. They fit right in as social creatures, and they're content with what's given to them. And who feel sad and anxious as a communal group, they will go where they are led, and they need that social interaction. One of the reasons that Jesus used so much analogies about animals, and especially about sheep, when the scripture says we are all like sheep, because we all by nature are social animals or social characters. But goats, on the other hand, by nature are curious, they're independent, and they're often rebellious. They are indifferent to community sometimes, and they can appear headstrong and ruly and rebellious. And typically, they just seem to think that they're better than anyone. And they also like to look across the fence and see, it might look a little bit better over there. They're mavericks. They're interested in their own journey and tend toward jealousy and disloyal behavior within the flock. The shepherd may not be able to tell them apart in their physical looks as he looked out, but he can tell them apart by their personalities and their flock or anti-flock behavior. Some of the earliest stories that we have in Scripture attribute the different personalities in this sense to the attributes of sheep and goats. Think about the story of Cain and Abel. Cain is described as a farmer attached to his land. He was jealous, he was rogue, he was challenging of God, while Abel is described as the shepherd, easygoing, humble, gracious, and relational. Same with the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau, the farmer, is described as a hairy, rough, independent, disloyal to his parents, while Jacob is described as being docile, obedient, Lord, and a stable shepherd. Both Abel and Jacob are the ones chosen to carry out the covenant with God forward through the next generation. Only those with a sheepish kind of humility are noted by God to be worthy of the kind of obedience which is necessary to be an example of the future people of God. While not all shepherds in scriptures have been lauded by God in being good shepherds, still, the role of the shepherd is one to be to discern between those who are sheep and those who are with the sport of being goatish. That's their personality. I always like this question. And I never understood the Enron commercials. You know, Enron was a company that went belly up for a lot of different reasons. But their commercial had like a little song, and it was, why? And I never understood that. But that is the question. Why? Why does God so defiantly distinguish between sheep and goats? Why does Jesus so adamantly speak about separating the sheep from the goats, as we read in that parable? The clue is this. In his description of the kingdom, or description of community, those who are sheep committed to the community care. They will be the ones feeding the hungry, clothing the needy, caring for the sick, loving each other. The independent, self-serving goat will be the ones who refuse. And instead, they just like to go their own way and serve their own needs. But Jesus makes it clear that God's love is for all. All. You know how many that is? All people and community care. The nature of personality of the flock is vital to the kingdom of heaven and that kind of world. We have a congregation that way. They love taking care of people. Some we know about, some we don't know about. But there's a such a sweet, sweet spirit in this congregation, and I've known firsthand how they help to take care of people. So we live in a world today in which we often advocate for a philosophy that says, well, it don't matter. The ends justify the means. We believe often today that behavior doesn't matter. The personality doesn't matter as long as the desired goal is achieved. But Scripture disagrees, and Jesus is clear. Because it's a matter of why we do things, it's a matter of how we do them. And it matters that we do them. A flock full of sheep and goats may look the same and even believe in similar ways of the time. But it'll be really important times at the most needed moments. In the most challenging times which we're living in today, the most heart-wrenching situations that are true, hearts will be revealed. Jesus sees us for who we are, his ability to look into our hearts and souls and to see what really dwells beneath our wild and woolly exterior. That's the most beautiful thing about having a personal relationship with God, because you can be yourself with God, because he already understands you, he already knows you, and he's always there to forgive and to guide us and strengthen us through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about you, but I know I'm a little rough around the edges at times, and sometimes it just shows, but all of us have generous hearts. We are programmed that way. Others may look like perfect Christians, but when the rubber meets the road, their generosity fails and self-serving behavior kicks in. Now, it's not to say that Jesus believes that our personalities are simply black and white, because they're not. We're all a combination of good and less good. Good decisions, bad decisions, desirable behaviors, undesirable behavior, and only God will judge us in the end. I got out of the judging business a long time ago, because now when I get involved in different things, and I like what the scriptures say in the Old Testament, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord thy God. So why be vengeful? Just turn it over to him, and then let him take care of it. And that's what really makes us separate, that God will judge us. He'll judge our hearts. And I think most, I would say 99% of the people in this world are good, good people. But unfortunately, there are some that's just not going to make it. But I think in this week's scripture, Jesus wants to ask us to inquire into our own hearts and to make self-correction when necessary. Part of the 12-step program is one of the steps that says, do a fearless and a moral inventory of ourselves. You know who's the only one that can do a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves? Is us, ourselves. God will help us with it, because he already knows. And when we find some things in there that we don't like and we need to change, he's willing and will help us overcome them. So these self-corrections are always necessary. So sometimes when you're feeling a little goatish, or sometimes you're feeling a little sheepish, ask your question, why? Why am I feeling that way? And seek God's wisdom and grace. Amen.